Morning and welcome again to Hope and Bible Podcasts. I'm Andy Mullen. Grab yourself a tea and a coffee, or a coffee, or both if you want. And open your Bibles up again at the little prophecy of Amos in the Old Testament. As we've come now to chapter 3, we're finding that Amos the prophet is now focusing his attention wholeheartedly upon the nation of Israel. Of course, this is the nation of Israel in around 762 BC. It's the northern 10 tribes compared to the two tribes of Judah that were based in the south with their capital in Jerusalem. Israel in the north had its capital in Samaria. The king at the time was Jeroboam II. And as we said previously, this was a time of prosperity, a time of relative peace. And yet, those who had the wealth, they kept it to themselves and they used it to bring injustice, oppression and that kind of thing upon the poor of the land. So as we come to chapter 3, we're going to find now how that Amos is going to bring the Lord's case against Israel and tell them that judgment is coming. So let's read chapter 3 together. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he hath taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces at Ashdod, and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, Assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, An adversary there shall be, even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, As the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye and testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. And I will smite the winter house and the summer house, and the houses of ivory shall perish, and the great houses shall have an end, saith the Lord. We know God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Now, as I said here, Amos is developing the case that the Lord has against his people Israel. And he reminds them that they were uniquely chosen. They were the family that he had. They were his people in the earth. And they had great responsibility because they had been given great privilege. Now, when we come to verse 3, we find that Amos sets out seven rhetorical questions. The answer to each of these questions, of course, is no. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, no, absolutely not. And the point there is that Israel ought to have been walking in step with the Lord. And yet they weren't. They weren't agreed. And so The lesson for us that we can take as we apply this to us is also a lesson concerning our walk with the Lord. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, the answer is obviously no. And therefore, we cannot go around saying that we are walking in step with the Lord if we are not agreed with the Lord. That comes down to His word. That comes down to our obedience to His word. This is a message, this prophetic message of Amos, while written in the 8th century BC, is truly a message that is fit for today, just as the whole Bible never grows old. You know, there are many today who will call themselves Christians, and they will say that they are walking in step with God, and yet they believe those things that are contrary to the Word of God. For instance, marriage. The Bible is very clear about marriage. A man and a woman brought together is one flesh in the Lord. And yet you have those today who would call themselves Christians. They would say they're walking with the Lord. And yet they would seek to tell us that anyone can get married. Two men could get married, or two women could get married. This is not the Lord's will. And the question is asked then, well, can two walk together except they be agreed? The answer to that question is absolutely not. It's impossible. And therefore, those who would hold views contrary to the Bible and to the Lord Himself, they are not walking in step with the Lord. They are walking in disobedience against the Lord. And therefore, the judgments that are outlined in this passage are a reflection upon the judgments that will come upon this world and upon those who would act contrary to the Lord. Now, when we come to verse 4, we have this reference to a lion again. You will remember in chapter 1, Amos, that was the very first thing that he had said in verse 2 of chapter 1, a quotation from the prophet Joel, "The Lord will roar from Zion." Now he's asking a question about that roaring. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Well, absolutely not. Now, of course, Amos is a country man. He was familiar with the country ways, the rural ways. And this would have been something that would have been well known in his day, the lion in the forest. But there's not going to be any roar of the lion if there's no prey. And yet, Amos has already told us the Lord will roar from Zion. And then when we come down to verse 8, we read again, "The lion hath roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken. Who can but prophesy?" And there we have a double phrase. This is often a kind of a poetic instrument to put two phrases together, and they're both really saying the same thing. The lion that hath roared is the Lord God that hath spoken. He's spoken from Zion, the place where he has put his name. But if the Lord God hath spoken, in other words, if the lion hath roared, then we only know the lion roars if there is a prey. And the point is that prey is Israel. Judgment is coming. We find the lion again in verse 12, and we find the result of that judgment that will come. It will be a complete devastation of the land and the nation of Israel. And the other nations, the Philistia, that is verse 9, the palaces at Ashdod and the land of Egypt, they are called to come and witness God's dealings with his people Israel, to witness the judgment. This will be a complete judgment upon them. And we're told how this judgment is going to come to pass. And so we read in verse number 11 that an adversary, there shall be even around about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength with thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Now this was going to come to pass in 722 BC. With hindsight, we know that it was that land of Assyria, that Assyrian empire, that would be the instrument God would use, the adversary, to come against the people, to come around about them. And these other rhetorical questions at the start of the chapter will sort of fall into place. There's the snare, the bird that is caught, the trumpet that is blown, the people that are afraid. And then we come to the very end of verse 6. This is the Lord that is doing this. This is not just Assyria flexing their muscles. No, this is from the Lord. Divine judgment that is falling. And Amos here, that's why, so this took place in 722, Assyria came. And that's why I suggest 762 as when this is written, 40 years before. We see the Lord's grace always often giving those that period of time to repent. And we'll see this in the next chapter, this call to repent and so on. But here we have the case set out, the judgment is given, and it is known, the lion hath roared. Now, just one other little point there in that. There was a story that I think would have been very well known in the days of Amos, in the days of King Jeroboam II. It was a story about something that had taken place around about 200 years previous, in the days of Jeroboam I. And in those days, there was a prophet who came up from Judah and to prophesy against Jeroboam I. And then as he returned, another prophet, an old prophet from Bethel, came out to meet him and invited him back for tea. But this prophet from Judah had been told not to stop, but to go back home. However, he did stop, and he went back to this old prophet's house for tea. And there, the old prophet, he prophesied against this younger prophet, and his disobedience in disobeying the clear word of God. He shouldn't have stopped, he should have gone on. And then we find that that young prophet then leaves, and as he leaves, there is a lion. He comes and he kills that young prophet in judgment for his disobedience. But then does something very unique, very strange, something that would have had the people talking, something that would have become a story and a kind of a folklore down through the centuries. And that lion, having killed that young prophet, did not devour the carcass, did not eat it, did not carry it off, and did not even slink away itself, but it just stood there. It stood silently there with the dead prophet and the prophet's donkey untouched and the lion, until the word came back to Bethel and that old prophet came up again and was able to take the young prophet and take him away for burial. It was clearly an evidence of divine judgment that the lion was there and stood there, silent and regal. Judgment had been dispensed by the king of the beasts. Judgment really had been dispensed by the King of Kings. And now as Amos is bringing up this thought of the lion again, I wonder, in the minds of these people, I think they would have known this story. You can read about that story away back in the Book of Kings. I think they would have known that. And this reference to the lion was clearly a reference to God's judgment. The king has spoken, and judgment is coming. Well, we'll see tomorrow as we turn to chapter 4 how the people will respond to this message. But we thank you for listening again, and we trust that the Lord will bless you. And let us take these things to heart in our day, that we would seek to be obedient to the word of the Lord, that we would seek to walk in step with him, step by step, in agreement with the Lord, with his will and with his word. So God bless you. Thanks for listening.